originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Why do the sirens come every 33 minutes? Why isn't it 34, 35?
Charlie.
What?
Yeah?
Shut up.
Weird.
And welcome to Subject to Discussion. I'm Shauna Mack, Sean Daly. Don't call me anything but late for dinner. Welcome to the program, and I'm going to be honored with our guest is Nikki Klein, who plays Lieutenant Callie on the Specialist Callie on the show. Hello, Nikki, you there?
Yes.
Nikki?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
All right, all right. We played a little soundbite from you from it was from 33 when you kept saying why do sirens come every 33 minutes, not 32,
oh,
not
right.
34. So, but I'm gonna say I had quite a response from you coming on to the show, so I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Now you've had quite a career. I mean, I've been going over your bio that I've gotten from NBC Universal, and then wow, you've been on almost a lot of shows, huh?
Yeah, I've been trying my best.
Yeah.
You know,
what you've been doing?
Going?
Well, you've been doing pretty good. I mean, let's see. What was your first role?
My first role was a one-liner on this TV show called Just Deal.
Just Deal?
About 4.5 years ago, I guess.
Wow, wow. So you've been, how long have you been acting?
Professionally, about that long.
Really? What was your first role?
Sorry?
What was your first role? Was it in school, or?
Well, I did theater in high school.
Oh.
I played the role of Annie in our school play, so that was kind of my first big acting experience. But I had been taking acting classes off and on growing up, so it was always something I loved to do. And then after I graduated from high school, I started auditioning and getting work.
Wow, so. Good for you. I mean, also you were on, Mysterious Ways, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You played with June Grissom, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And then you're on The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, and then Dead Zone. That's with the Anthony and Michael Hall, correct?
Yes, he's great.
And Alonzo was on there as well, right?
Yeah, it's funny. We're all on a lot of the same shows because they all film in Vancouver, and the Vancouver acting scene is pretty small. So chances are that we're going to work on the same shows because they all have a lot of guest stars and things on them. So
very good, very good. And you're also in The L Word playing Delilah.
Yeah.
In the episode Losing It, right?
Yep.
Which was, I think, was the sixth episode of the first season, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Very good.
Right.
And then I did Dead Like Me. Now, Dead Like Me was on Showtime, correct? I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. And then because now there's supposed to be, there's a rumor that Sci-Fi is going to pick it up and perhaps move Galactica to a different night and put Dead Like Me in front of it.
Oh, really? But I thought they canceled it.
Well, they did, but there's this, you know, the rumors are flying that Sci-Fi is going to, you know, pick it up and then, you know, start having their big night of programming.
Oh, really?
Versus just a Friday night.
Right.
And
well, that's cool.
Yeah. And then you joined Galactica, right? And you're
into it.
Now, how's that? I mean, how'd you like, you know, when you first got, I asked Bodie almost that last week, when you first got the script, I don't know, did you ever watch the original series?
I didn't watch it when it was on originally. Mm-hmm. I was a little too young. I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went to boot camp, we did watch, I think it was just maybe one episode. So I did get a feel for it,
mm-hmm.
but I really didn't watch it very much.
Really?
So.
Now, do you like doing sci-fi, or? I mean,
it's funny that I've happened to be on a lot of sci-fi shows just coincidentally, but they're really fun, you know, there's lots of special effects,
mm-hmm.
and usually the characters, you can be a little more creative with them, so I do enjoy it, yeah.
Wait, now, how was the, now, you did the miniseries, and then you had the downtime between the miniseries and the series. Now,
mm-hmm.
did you think the show was going to get picked up, or you just, that's done, I'm going to go off and do something else?
Well, yeah, I mean, I always try to keep a positive attitude and not really stress about things, worrying about it happening, because it either will or it won't. But filming the miniseries, everyone was really optimistic,
yeah.
and everyone was really excited about the show. So I was pretty sure that it would get picked up, but you never know. And I just kept auditioning for other things, and it just came at a really good time for me financially. So was nice, and I was just really excited that it got picked up and to be on the show again.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are asking, now, have you officially signed a contract for the second season?
I have not.
You have not? Oh, wow.
No.
That's interesting, huh?
It is interesting. Yeah. They haven't worked out all the contract details. It's still happening. But I do know that I'm in the first two episodes, for sure.
Oh, very good.
So
very good.
That's as much as I know. We'll see.
Yeah, because you're very popular. I mean, I had on my blog for the show a girl, I guess she's college age, high school age, and she said that you and your character are like a role model to other young women, that they, you know, stand up for themselves and you know, everything else. Especially from that episode you did in Bastille Day. I mean, that was incredible acting. I had to compliment you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I mean, it's just gripping. I mean, it was yourself and that prisoner, and then the two of you combined. You know, you had actually great chemistry with, I don't know, what was his name, the actor's name? Do you know? Do you remember? No? That's all right.
His name, I can't think of it right now.
No.
But I do know his name.
But it was incredible. But it was incredible chemistry between you two. I mean, he was playing, you know, you're playing, you know, like the victim, and it was amazing.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah. And then,
scary.
It is you two combined with, you know, being on in the cell there and in the music together. Just that whole episode was incredible. I mean, and then you had the whole thing at the end where you bit off his ear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and well, I mean, how is it being like a role model? I mean, beyond the series, you're going to the second season, and if you keep going, you are going to be a role model to people. I mean, are you comfortable with that? Or?
I am. I think it's wonderful. If, you know, the more positive female role models there are, I think, the better. So, no, I think it's great. Wow. And I'm just really happy playing that character on the show. It makes me happy, and it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. And then, well, there was a scene that was edited out, I think it was of the miniseries, where actually you and Tyrell were actually kind of like adversaries, because you confront a scene where you confront him about what he's doing with Boomer in the supply room and everything, and he kind of grabbed you and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how they dropped that scene, and you two have become like brother and sister on the show.
Yeah, I don't think it would have changed our relationship.
I don't know.
I think that we still would have that, because that issue is resolved in the scene at the end of the miniseries where he's helping me fix the Viper and. Or I'm helping him, rather.
Mm.
You know, I fit my hand into something because it's smaller, and we sort of come to terms and set our differences aside. But it was interesting that they didn't use it. Although watching the scene in the deleted scenes when I did after the fact, I thought that it could have been better.
Mm.
So I wasn't too choked that it didn't make it.
Really? And now, you watch your own work?
I do, yeah.
You do? You watch the
I don't
your dailies?
Always, because being in Canada, we don't always get the American channels that a lot of the shows are on, so I don't really get to see everything, but what I can, I try to watch, because it's fun, and it's just really interesting to see the final product from what you did, and you know, you can only put so much into it, and then it's in the hands of others, so...
Yeah, it must be incredible, because you do a scene, and then you go back and watch it when it's, you know, the music is put into it, and the edits are done.
Yeah, the music, especially on Battlestar Galactica, I think is so important, and just has such a powerful impact on the show.
Yeah. Now, who were your acting inspirations growing up? Did you look at somebody and say, I want to be like her? I mean, you know.
I don't have any specific inspirations. I think that, you know, it's always changing. If I see great acting in any film, it's really inspiring, but there's not necessarily one person that I think has consistently inspired me, but just great acting, great writing, great films, that's it, you know, why we're all here, why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, now, what's your method to memorizing your lines? I mean, some people I know on the soaps, they write little cheat sheets about their lines, and they read them at night before they go to bed, and they read their lines again. What kind of method do you go through to memorizing your lines?
I don't know that I have really a method. I don't know why, but I don't find it that difficult to memorize lines. So I'm lucky in that way. I just read it a few times and and try to understand the idea of the scene, first of all, before worrying about memorizing, because sometimes you can get stuck when you just memorize the words, and you can get stuck in saying them a certain way instead of letting it be spontaneous and connecting with the other actor on the day and things. So I just try to, you know, understand the scene as best I can and rehearse with the other actor or actors before we do the scene. But it generally hasn't been that difficult. Luckily, I haven't had too much scientific, you know, technical talk yet.
Yeah.
That's always the most difficult.
And a techno babble or...
Yeah, you have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah.
I've had a little bit, but no, it's not too hard.
Really. And then you had some scenes in the episode with Socinus when he got, was that Litmus, I think it was? And it was a pretty good read. Everybody's looking at each other if they're Cylon or not. I mean, you know, it's all about the director, right? He tells you what he wants out of you, then it's up to you to, you know, pull it out of yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has their own ideas. Sometimes I'll look at scenes ahead of time and have a vision of how it's going to look, and then on the day, on set, because I don't even really always know what the set is going to look like, and the director has a way different idea than I did, like that we're going to be walking really fast when we do the scene instead of being still, or things like that always change the feeling and the intention of the scene. But yeah, essentially the actor and the director work together in, you know, providing the most realistic situation possible.
Very good. Now I have some questions from the chat room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And although I like talking to you, I promised the fans I'd let them have at you for a few minutes, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I had a question. Who do you get along with best from the cast? And do you have any close relationships from Galactica? I know Aaron Douglas. I hit him on a few weeks ago. He said you and him are pretty close friends.
Yeah, we have a really great time together on set. He's a really funny guy, and we just joke around endlessly, making, you know, fart noises before we start the scene, just trying to make each other laugh. We have a great relationship on set.
Really?
But I honestly wouldn't be able to say one person over the other, because everyone is great on the show. We are just so lucky. I'm sure that other people have said this, but I'm actually in Los Angeles right now, and Sam is listening to the show, so Sam Witwer, who plays Crashdown, hello.
Oh.
I just went out with Grace and Katie the other night, and...
How are they doing?
They're great.
Grace Park got married recently.
Yeah, about the show.
Really?
About filming soon, yeah.
Yeah. So we do in L.A., you auditioning for roles, or...?
Yeah, it's pilot season
right that's
now,
right.
So I'm just here trying to get more work.
Really. Now, another question is, how would you feel about Callie becoming a Viper pilot, and also... I guess the sci-fi message board is saying they want your call sign to be Gizmo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What do you think about becoming a Viper pilot?
I am certainly open to the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think it would be fun. And the more skills and talents one has, the better. And yeah, it would be fun to fly one of those Vipers instead of fixing it all the time. Maybe I could not be dirty always. That would be nice.
Well, Aaron Douglas says that he's purposely stayed out of the Viper until he actually is in a scene where they actually put him into it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I guess, you know, that's, you know, his motivation for not getting into that thing. I don't know. Maybe he can't fit into it, huh?
Yeah, who knows? Well, I wouldn't imagine that filming in the Vipers is really that fun.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck in this really tight space with a helmet on, and their pilot seats are pretty tight and constricting, and then you're right on a, like, in front of a green screen trying to imagine your friends being blown up in front of you. I mean,
exactly.
It's a tough gig doing that.
Yeah.
So I'd be up to the challenge, though.
Very good. Another question. Do you read the sci-fi board? Do you go on the sci-fi channel message board?
I have sometimes. Aaron actually sends me little things every once in a while, because he's on it a lot and communicates a lot with the fans. So, yeah, once in a while I'll get a little a link to some message that's written about me, but not too often.
How do you feel about that, some of the fans or, you know, slash fanatics? I mean, how do you feel?
It's flattering.
Really?
I think it's great, and I certainly appreciate the interest that people have had in the show and in my character, and I think it just shows how, you know, dynamic Battlestar really is, because there are so many little details that you can talk about, think about, discuss, and I think it's really great.
And are you anything like Callie in real life?
I suppose so.
Really?
As an actor, you always try to bring in personality things into your character, and of course, when I'm dealing with doing scenes, I always think about what I would do in a situation like that. I'm certainly not necessarily mechanically inclined, if that's the question, but I do think that I stand my ground, or at least I like to think that, and a little bit.
You don't run around in an orange jumpsuit, do you?
No, okay. That's just for work, luckily. Look like I should be picking up garbage on the side of the highway or something.
It's a second job. It's always a good backup in case the show doesn't go. You know what I mean?
Really? Yeah. Keep the suit and get a second job.
Yeah, or go to prison with Martha. You know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Now, we're here trying to catch up with the questions. How was it? Did you have any? No, you didn't have any scenes with Richard Hatch, did you? I don't think
so. I did.
You did?
Well, I mean,
well,
I was...
At the beginning, kind of.
I was...
at the end there, when...
with a bullet in my side.
Stomach.
Well, Richard Hatch and Jamie Bamber had their
argument.
Confrontation. So I didn't specifically act, you know, with him, but he was there, and we worked on a lot of the same days, and he's a really great guy and a very generous actor.
Yeah, he's coming back, I think, in 2 weeks, I believe, on the show.
Oh, great.
So, and then supposedly they can bring him back in the second season, so...
Cool.
But, I mean, that, you know, how was it, you know, when he was on the set? Or like, oh, now here comes his original series star. You know, what was the feeling on the set?
No, I think everyone was really excited because so many people that work on the show were big fans of the original series, you know, not just the actors, but the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone was just really excited to meet him and to get his impression of things and talk about the new series as opposed to the old one and how things are different. So I think it was really great that he was there. And I think it's such a positive thing for the show because there are so many fans that were a little that were not as excited about the new show. You know,
I know.
Were caught up in wanting it to be exactly like the old one. So I think it's really great to have his support.
Yeah, I mean, because those original series fans are really fanatics. I mean, I've gotten some interesting emails from people too. That it's like, woof! I didn't realize the old show was that still that popular.
It was.
Very intense emails.
Yeah.
Now, have you gone to any of the conventions? You know, any of the sci-fi cons?
No, I haven't.
No.
I would like to. What? I've heard lots of interesting things about them. I know Aaron has, and some other people from the cast, but. Yeah, maybe sometime this year I'll get a chance to.
I believe there's one coming up, I think, the end of March, early April, GateCon. I believe it's up in Vancouver.
It is in Vancouver?
I believe so. And then they mentioned a lot of the cast is going to be there.
Well, certainly if I'm in Vancouver, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think Candace, she's going to be there. She's Duella, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe... Alonzo is going to be there, and I think and Aaron Douglas. There's a few of them that are going to be there, but so I don't know if it's end of March, early April. I don't know, but it should be on in the. If you go on the board, they're all talking about the GateCon
right,
up
I'll
there.
Check it out.
Yeah, so maybe you'll bump into William Shatner or something like that.
Yeah,
huh?
You never know.
Now, besides Callie, they're asking me who is your favorite character on the show?
Favorite character?
It's Adama,
that's a
isn't it?
Fair question.
Adama. Gotta be nice to Edward James Olmos, right?
Do you know who I love is James Callis.
Really? Baltar?
Baltar.
Wow.
I think he is an incredible actor and just brings that role to a whole other level. I mean, at the script read-throughs, he's just hilarious. He cracks everyone up, and he's such an intelligent and creative actor. So I always look forward to hearing his parts and seeing what he does with the lines.
What, Mary McDonnell?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I haven't really had a chance to work with her directly, but of course, I just have a relationship with her being on set and things, but she's a great actor. I've always loved her, so I feel really lucky to work with her and Edward.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid cast, though. There's Edward James Olmos, you got Mary McDonald and
very
Katie,
solid.
And James Callis and Jamie Bamber. I mean, it's really. You ever look around and say, wow, look at all these great actors all in one show together. It's got to be, and of course yourself, you're a great actor as well. I mean,
it's
got to be.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, have you done any projects in between, up to now? Because you're down here for pilot season. Have you shot any pilots?
No, I haven't. But I have, I mean, what did I do? The episode of Dead Like Me was after we finished, maybe it was before we shot. I did a WB Kids movie called Zolar last year. I've been trying to keep as busy as possible in between series, but it's always just in the hands of other people, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're in L.A. now. Is there anything you're trying out for? You think, well, this might be interesting to play.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. I've just been so busy, like, pilots. Mm-hmm. There are so many of them right now that I'm trying to think if any.
I know Aaron and Alonzo want to do like a military type of a show. I know there's Stephen Bochco is doing a show called Over There about an army group over in Iraq. It's going to be like
interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a show, as a cop show set in the 70s, kind of a French Connection type of a series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wait, do you want to do like a cop show?
I certainly wouldn't be against it. I don't know if I could ever, or I mean I could at some point, but I don't know if I could play a cop right now. I'd have to be a really young cop.
Yeah, or a police academy type of a dramatic one. Not a comedic police academy, but you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But I have a question from the chairman. They said, now, did Mike Tyson send you a card after you bit off that prisoner's ear on Bastille Day?
Yeah, I wish.
he'll show you the right way to do it. You did it the wrong
way. Exactly, right? Yeah.
Too much blood in that ear.
I thought I did an okay job. Tried my best.
You knew that one was coming. You must have got jokes on the set after you did it. Like, all the Tyson jokes and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone had a new one for me, or the same one.
There you go. There you go.
It was pretty funny because I had that. We were shooting for 2 days in that cell with all bloodied from the bullet, and I had blood all over my face from his ear. And we'd break for lunch, and I don't really get to take that stuff off, so I'd be eating my salad with blood all over my face. It was quite a hilarious image.
That'd be good for people sitting around. You're like, everybody's probably.
I know all the exes, because I would kind of forget that I even had it on my face, and people would be looking at me weird when I was throwing popcorn in the air and eating it.
I think those are the days everybody lost weight on that show, because everybody's looking at you trying to eat their lunch with
the
blood all over your face.
Keep it down.
I hope you weren't eating any chicken or anything, huh?
Yeah.
But, kind of reminds me of that Super Bowl commercial. I don't know if you saw it with the cat, the guy with the cat.
No, I didn't.
No, he's cooking like spaghetti, and the cat jumps on the spaghetti sauce, goes all over the floor. It's a white cat, and
the cat gets
in the tomato sauce, and he picks it up, and his girlfriend walks in, thinking that he's killing the cat because it's all red, like it's blood.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that'd be funny. Now, actually, a lot of people are saying that you recovered miraculously fast from your gunshot wound.
Yeah, they didn't really explore that. I just kind of appeared 2 episodes later.
Yeah, you kind of just popped me
away. I have a good immune system or something.
I guess. Or the doctor works wonders, huh?
Yeah, really.
But how's he working with
those drugs in the future?
There you go.
Work wonders.
Yeah, now, did you have any scenes with Denelli Rhodes, the doctor? I don't think so.
No,
because he's excellent. I remember him from Soap. He played Dutch, and he's the anti-doctor. He's like the smoking doctor and everything.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he's supposedly showing up probably next season, because there's a cliffhanger coming. He's going to play a role in resolving it.
Right.
So, but it's just you got these guest stars showing up all the time. I mean, are you surprised people show up? You're like, wow,
who are you?
Yeah. I mean, you ever see that? Like, who are you on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how they every episode they keep throwing in like new pilots or new, like there were a couple of new pilots with us when we have all the episodes aired yet?
Not yet. We're on Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down just aired, and Friday is Hand of God.
All right, well then I won't talk about that.
Okay,
don't want to ruin it.
No, it's
but there are definitely a lot of new people coming in and out. You know, sometimes they'll there was a new crew person, who wore the yellow.
Oh, yeah, him.
His character's name is.
Yeah, he turned up out of nowhere.
In one episode.
Yeah, he just showed up one week, right?
Yeah, and then he's gone. So I hope they bring him back. He's a really great guy, yeah. Great actor. So.
And I have
it's funny how they do that.
Yeah. Now, actually, Ty's wife was on, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
and Kate Vernon played her, and she used to be on Falcon Crest years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so she's, I mean, it's amazing. All your experiences. I mean, it's, everybody's come from a different, you know, like Ever James Olmos, you know, Miami Vice and
mm-hmm.
West Wing and all your experience on the L Word and all that. I mean, it's got to be a, you ever sit, all sit around and, you know, bat stories around?
We do.
Yeah.
I think, as, you know, because actors are so involved with what they do when they're at work and things, when we're in our off time, I think we try our best to talk about other things than, you know, what we've done
mm-hmm.
or what shows. Obviously, it's a part of our life, and we have stories from work and whatnot, but it's not all work talk. It's not all shop talk on set, luckily.
Yeah, that's good. How many hours on the set?
Long hours.
Really?
Often very long hours. Sometimes they change around the order of scenes because it's always, you know, trying to get the most in as possible, but sometimes things just take way longer than expected, so so yeah, there's a lot of sitting around and reading and waiting for things to happen, but especially with all the special effects, there's a lot of setup time that needs to be accounted for, like setting up the smoke machines or sparks or whatever, things like that, but it's all fun. I mean, we all just make the best of it.
Yeah. And another question, Rich, how would you feel if Callie turns out to be a Cylon?
Ooh, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Ooh.
But maybe if that meant that there were more than one of me, that might be cool.
There you go. There you go. Now, would you like to do that? I know what Grace Boomer. She's you know, on the ship and
she's
also
all
down.
All over the place. I know.
I'm looking for the third one to show up.
Sorry?
I'm looking for an air version of her to show up somewhere else.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to explore different personalities within the same character from an acting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
From a Battlestar perspective, I think I wouldn't be very happy if I was a Cylon.
Yeah.
Cylons are evil.
Evil?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your perspective, though, you know, they're just showing both sides of them. You don't know.
Definitely. I think it's amazing what the writers have done with the parallels of the Cylons and their, you know, religious beliefs, comparing it to the civilians. And it's fascinating.
Yeah. I think towards the end, we're going to wonder who's really, you know.
Who are the good guys?
Yeah.
Who are the bad guys?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you have a question. Do you ever watch hockey with Aaron?
No.
No, well, hockey's canceled because they're on strike,
yeah,
so how could you?
Hockey, but no, actually, during the miniseries, the Stanley Cup, Aaron was just going mental trying to, you know, work around the games. He got the Teamsters to, like, set up cable in his trailer so he could watch it every second he had free. So I might have watched a little bit on set, but not aside from that.
Yeah, and our question, would Callie, I don't know how they expect you to know this stuff, but they say, will Callie have a love interest? Well, you don't know, right?
Well, I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I don't see why she shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I don't know that yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, who would you like? Well, love interest. Who would you like? How about Colonel Ty?
Right, yeah. It's kind of Slim Pickens, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
I don't really know if it seems like everyone's taken.
Apollo, he's out there by himself, right?
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, he's cute.
Yeah, Aaron.
Yeah, I think about that.
Tyrell's available now too.
Yeah, that's a complicated one though.
Yeah.
I don't know if we would go there.
No.
But I think she has maybe a little crush on him.
Because you're both like brother and sister, be a little, you know.
Yeah, that might get a little weird.
Ruin the chemistry there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, do you have any backstory ideas for Callie? I'm being asked.
Yeah, I mean, when we went to boot camp, it was really great. We at the end of the weekends, we all sat around a campfire and got up in front of everyone and told, we're in character supposed to be, and sort of told a little story about where we've come from, what planets. I mean, we didn't really know at the time. We just made it up from what we could muster from the script. But that was a really valuable thing to go through because it's it's not always there, so yeah. you have to sometimes make it up yourself. But I've always thought Kelly was just very ambitious and hardworking, obviously, and and talented at working with the Vipers and mechanics, and I think she just is really driven and comes from a place of wanting to do something meaningful with her life and hopefully make a difference.
Now, you think Kelly's got a family, or think they've all been, you know, they're all been killed in the colonies, or?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a dismal situation now with all the planets that have been exploded, and yeah, it's interesting how it doesn't really explore the family aspect of the people on the ship, except for between Eddie and Jamie Bamber. But yeah, I would imagine that Kelly doesn't know necessarily. I don't know if you've noticed on the ship, there's pictures plastered all over the walls of loved ones and missing people and kind of tributes to loved ones who are lost. So I think that I don't think everyone knows exactly who's alive and who's not.
Yeah, there's some very different parallels between that scene with the pictures and 9/11. I mean, it's amazing how they're paralleling the two realities, you know, the galactical reality and our reality right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
do
you have a question?
The writers are very smart in that way.
Yeah, but people say question, Kelly, she have a brother that shows up in the fleet. I mean, you won't know this until you start the second season, because there are 20 episodes. I imagine more of these characters are going to be fleshed out in the second season.
Yeah.
So.
Well, who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah. I mean, you could end up taking over the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or working with Rosalyn. I really like to see you and her in a scene together. I think that'd be excellent.
I would love that. Yeah.
Because she...
she's, fingers crossed.
Yeah, because she's really... I mean, Edward James almost does great in the show, but I think... Mary McDonnell, I mean, the way she started as the hesitant president, and now she's like the take charge president. I mean, it's amazing how she's transformed that character from episode to episode.
She really has a strong journey, and Mary just does an amazing job of showing that, of portraying that.
Yeah, and then her struggles with her cancer as well. I mean,
yeah,
just see her.
It's always at the root of her decisions and just something that she always has to keep in mind. And obviously it's not an easy thing to deal with for anyone, but in such a stressful situation, it's even harder.
Yeah, because it's amazing how she's, everybody's got the roles, but I mean, she's really dealing with two different things. She's dealing with her responsibility as the president and also her cancer problems as well.
Yeah.
So it's a tribute to her. I mean, she's an excellent actress. I mean, especially like Edward James Olmos. I mean, you've had, we're not really seeing one-on-one with him, but you've been in the same room with him, right?
Yeah.
How's that? I mean, it's got to be imposing knowing, here's this man that's done every show, all these great series and movies and Stand and Deliver. And
we're just so lucky because both Eddie and Mary have worked so much and are such talented actors, but they are just the most generous and giving people and actors, open to ideas and just not what you would expect from someone who has had their success. They're always willing to give advice or talk about things, and it's just really wonderful to work with them and a great learning experience.
I bet. I have a question for the chairman. Do you have any hobbies? What's a hobby do you have? I mean,
I do lots of all kinds of things, but hobbies.
You collect stamps
or
anything?
Snowboard and dance and try to keep active. I read lots.
Oh. What's the last book you read?
Sorry?
What's the last book you read?
Right now, I am in the middle of Bob Dylan's Chronicles.
Wow.
And a book called White Noise by Don DeLillo.
Wow. You like to read and everything. Do you paint? A lot of actors paint.
I don't.
No?
I kind of wish that I had more solo activities as hobbies, because there's so much waiting around time when you're on set. Like, I don't play the guitar, which is a really cool thing to do when you're just sitting around with people. But, mostly I read or write.
Really? Well, if you're an Annie, you should have a pretty good singing voice.
So sorry. You'd be surprised.
There you go.
Luckily, Annie was a kid, so she didn't really have to have that trained-sounding voice, so I got away with it. But, my singing voice isn't really the best.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately. I wish it were.
I was thinking maybe they could set up like a nightclub on Galactic and they'd have you up there singing.
Yeah, right. Karaoke, that'd be fun.
Karaoke. That'd be hilarious, yeah. But anyway, actually we're going to let you, you're staying a little over your time. I'm sorry I didn't keep you holding on. But now, do you have any final words for your fans or anything? Do you have a website, everybody's asking?
I don't have a website. No. I guess that's all I can say.
No, it's all right.
Maybe I will in the near future. If someone wants to make one, they can certainly go ahead.
There you go. I know, well, a lot of them have fan sites, so, I mean, I think Aaron has one. I think Katie has a fan site. So.
Yeah, Paul Campbell has one, too.
Paul Campbell, too? Oh.
It's a good idea. I just haven't really put much thought into it.
Yeah. Well, you're busy. I mean, and these websites aren't easy to put together, you know.
Not myself, no.
Yeah. How about a blog? You can do a blog. I got one, and I'm not the most technically, knowledgeable person in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah, blogs are real easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and then you just write.
Right. It's like a diary you put up, and then people can, follow it.
Right.
It's
a good idea.
Yeah. Well, Nikki Klein, I thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, no problem at all. Thank
you.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
And that was Nikki Klein, Callie from Battlestar Galactica. And it was nice. I mean, I like talking to her. She's a nice young lady, as we say, back in the neighborhood, the mean streets of Chicago. But I mean, she's got quite a character. I mean, I've gotten some emails and message on my blog about how she's a character as a role model towards other young women, that she stands up for herself, doesn't get pushed around by the guys, which is nice to see. Galactica is representative of a future reality we hope to have here in this country, where women are in the same equal standing as the men, because you got she's Tyrell's assistant, a mechanic, and you got Mary McDonnell playing the president. She's a woman, so hopefully we can get up to their where they're at with their men and women parallels. So hopefully it'll happen, because if we can learn from television, hopefully we can learn from them. And Michael Hinman should be joining us in a few minutes from Sci-Fi Portal, and we're going to go over Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, and we'll talk about the ratings. I haven't gotten the official ratings from my good friends over at NBC Universal, because my contact, she's on vacation, but I did get it from Koenig Rules, so we appreciate his giving us the news that supposedly Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down did a 2.13 rating, which is if it stands as being true, be the lowest rating of the season so far for Galactica, besides episode 7. And so hopefully that's just an anomaly, and it'll go back up. There really is no. I know they said the previous episode, if it slipped from episode 7, they attribute that towards President's Weekend or Valentine's Weekend. This time around, there's no excuse for the ratings to be falling. So I don't know. So we'll see, because him and I have had a little dispute over the ratings from number 7. He had it at a 2.5, and I had it at 2.2 from NBC Universal. So we'll see when my source gets back what the network is actually saying. And we ready for Mr. Inman? All right. Michael Inman, are you there?
Yeah, hey, I heard that there's a little rating discrepancy.
Oh, sorry, the silence talked over you. What'd you say?
I said there's a little rating discrepancy out there.
Well, no, yep. That, from
no,
number
Sci-Fi Channel, that is like, hey, we forgot to put a number in. It's actually supposed to be like 12.2. So.
Yeah, if it's 12.2, that show will be off of Sci-Fi and NBC by tomorrow. But, I mean, I agree that we shouldn't put all our emphasis on the ratings, but at least you would mention them, you know what I mean? Right?
Oh, there's ratings and stuff?
Yeah.
I don't even pay attention. So.
Really? Now, have you heard anything about the ratings at all? No?
No, I just heard they're flat. I mean, I haven't heard anything about them. Like I said before, they're going to dip up and down. They're going to do all kinds of things, but in the end, as long as they pretty much, stay stable in a general range, we're all right.
Yeah. Now, how about they got this NBC Universal thing saying Sci-Fi scores its highest February household rating ever, and is up 22% in 25 to 54s and 29% 18 to 49s versus last February. So that's good. I think, well, last year they were running reruns of Sliders, weren't they?
I think last year they were showing Critters 2 or something. I don't know.
But, infomercial with whoever the hell that was. But, I mean, it's good to see. I mean, the ratings, are through, especially the young demographics, I mean, they're doing real well. Like I said, they're ahead of Galactica, or ahead of the WWE. But it's incredible. I mean, now you're having a little thing on your website about the Enterprise, right? You want everybody to flip off Berman and
Brandon
Braga?
Yeah, I want to start a flip off campaign, but you know, everybody's all kind of scared to do that.
Hey,
like, we all want to fax, you know, just videotape, you know, flipping off somebody,
finger?
And I mean, Xerox it and just. Fax it over.
Yeah, well, everybody's just joining us. It's Michael Hinman from Sci-Fi Portal, S-Y-F-I Portal. And because the scuttlebutt is that on the last episode of Enterprise, Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Frakes are going to show up as Riker and Troy. And all of Enterprise is going to turn out to be a holodeck adventure on the Enterprise-D. Is that correct?
I don't know if it's going to be the entire series. I think it might just be just the last episode. I mean, I mean, we've all heard different things. I can tell you for sure that rumor, you know, that is correct, and we're not even putting up spoiler warnings because we just don't want people to accidentally watch the show.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds so horrible.
Yeah. Well, it must be, because why else would they be bringing them two on the show unless they're going to do something like that? Huh?
I just...
unless they're going to play their character's grandmother, great, you know, I mean, how are they going to get away with that?
Well, it's kind of funny, though, too, because Rick Berman described that as a Valentine, you know, to Star Trek fans, and I saw on a message board somewhere where somebody said, yeah, that's the kind of Valentine your ex-husband sends you who you have a restraining order against, you know?
I mean, it's not really a Valentine. I mean, if they make the whole show nothing but a dream, like on Dallas or Newhart, I mean, they're going to revolt, you know?
Yeah, it makes no sense why do we need to bring in these next generation people at all? And
exactly.
It's very annoying, and you know, but I mean, and I was actually kind of anti-Star Trek here for the last couple of days, but you know, we just actually tonight talked to the new writer for Star Trek 11, so now I'm a little more confident that we might see some good Star Trek in the future.
Yes,
so.
Well, the who's the writer? You told me that the other night. Was
Eric Jenderson.
What has he written before?
Well, he's an Emmy Award-winning writer and producer for Band of Brothers.
Oh, there you go.
So he had some good ideas, and we had a good chat tonight. And
wow.
So all that's up on the site.
All right. And what did you think of Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down? I thought it was a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I was listening a little bit more to the podcast that they have on the Sci-Fi Channel website.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I mean, it was kind of interesting to hear that was supposed to be a much darker episode. You know, kind of a Crimson Tide-like episode, and somehow it turned into more of a comedic approach. And I mean, it was like good timing to have something funny on there.
Yeah, well, that's what Jamara Moore said during his podcast that you know, he thought that they had like two or three dreary episodes in a row. And he thought he'd lighten things up a little bit with this episode, but it wasn't entirely a laugh-a-thon on that show. I mean, they opened up with Rosalyn looking down on Adama at the CIC, trying to figure out if he's a Cylon or not, and then there's still a lot of drama in the show.
I mean, it's still a good show. That's what's good. You don't have to have the whole show be a big, you know, sitcom all of a sudden.
You
can still do something funny, a little more light, but still stick with, you know, your basic theme of the show, which is kind of the whole, I don't know, Deep Space Nine theme, like, oh, who's a Cylon, you know, who isn't?
Well, then Adama goes up to Rosalyn on the upper deck of the CIC saying that the Cylon tester is ready, and she suggests that he get tested first and back and forth. I mean, those two together, I mean, I like their scenes together because there's tension in there, and there's also a respect between Adama and Rosalyn.
And it's funny because you can just sit there and watch it, and even though everybody knows that Adama's not a Cylon at all, but, you know, when you're watching those opening scenes, especially in Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down, it's kind of funny because you're sitting there and you're just, like, looking at every single move that, you know, Edward James almost makes, just wondering if, is he really a Cylon? I mean, is he going to do something that's going to scream, oh, I'm a Cylon, you know?
Well, especially that before they play the opening music, they cut to him, like, looking around his room or something. It's like, what the...
Yeah, they said they had to really look for that shot, too. That's what Ronald D. Moore said in the podcast. That
really?
They don't know where they pulled that shot from, but they needed to find something with him looking kind of spooky. And they don't know if that was from that episode or if they stole it from somewhere else.
Probably from a miniseries or something, huh?
But, you know, I mean, what I even like better is the fact that a lot of people don't, I don't think he really paid attention, but, I mean, that was an episode directed by Edward James, almost.
Yes, I saw the credits. Yeah, I noticed that the camera wasn't as herky-jerky as it's been all season, and a lot more close-ups on the actors' faces than on previous episodes. That must be his way of directing, obviously, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And then we had the whole thing with Dwala and Billy making out on the observation deck there, watching the Vipers fly over.
Yeah, that would suck if you're serving on a ship and it only has one window. What kind of a cruise is that?
Well, I mean, and then he's actually pumping her for information about Adama to give back to Rosalyn, how, you know, his calls are being unlogged. And
you know, the only thing I didn't like about this is that, I mean, especially that opening part there, you know, in the observation lounge, they kept talking about, you know, they kept describing Adama as the old man. And, I mean, it's like, well, we've never heard this term before. Now it seems like everybody's calling him the old man, and it's going back and forth, and then you hear Ty later on even refer to him as the old man. It's like, Well, where is this coming from? You know? Why is everybody suddenly calling him that? Yeah. And then they stopped calling him that after this episode, too, so.
Yeah. Well, Ty, you know, he has been calling him old man all along, you know. But the rest of
them. Yeah, not in the way it's going. Like, yeah, I've never heard Waller refer to him that way.
Yeah,
so.
Everybody's calling him an old man now. And then,
I mean, he is kind of old, I guess, but.
Well, and where else we had? Then we had Baltar talking to Six about how long it take to test all the people in the fleet. It'd be 0.534 years to check.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, and what Ron Moore said that he was going with that approach too was that, you know, on Star Trek and on some of these other science fiction shows, like they could sit there, tap a few buttons, and all of a sudden they have all the information they need. They could scan people and all this stuff, and. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think what he was trying to show is like, hey, real life, that you can't just press a couple of buttons and you're done. You know, some of these things are very complex and could take, you know, which are impossible. Like, you know, obviously, Baltar has an impossible task.
Yeah, well, funny thing is, though, in a previous episode, he tested Boomer in like 5 minutes. Now he's going to takes 11 hours to test each person now, huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. If, like, maybe they just, you know, showed them 11 hours later or what. But, yeah, it just seemed like that was kind of fast.
Yeah, it could be. And then, let's see. Oh, and then the whole scene with Baltar and Six starting to get it on, and then Starbuck walks in. I'm like, well, he's cleaning his beaker, as we should pronounce it. But I mean, that was kind of cool. And then they show Six with her bent over the table and her back of her skirt up. I mean, wait, the things they do on this show. I mean,
I've seen like less. You know, I've seen less graphic scenes than Debbie does Dallas. And,
there you go.
You know, Deep Throat and all those. So.
And well, then they aired at the beginning of the show. Before that scene aired, they aired that disclaimer. And, you know, please know there's. But whatever it is, you know.
Did it really? See, I didn't actually get to see the sci-fi broadcast.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. And on the first running of, not the second running of it, but the first running of the show, that they said parental discretion is advised, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know,
so many people are forgetting that this is not a kid's show. I mean, I know. You know, they're not going to have a little mechanical dog walking around with Boxy.
Not yet. Where is Boxy anyway?
So, I mean, they just need to realize that. It's sad to put a disclaimer up there because I'm tired of hearing people complain about sex and everything else. And
it's at 10 o'clock for a reason, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I've seen worse at 10 o'clock on the actual broadcast network.
There you go. Well, parents, if they're not sitting there with their kids watching, I mean, they show by now it's not a shoot 'em up, a special effects laden show. I mean, for crying out loud, it's been 10 weeks now. Come on.
I mean, I would rather see Six walking around without clothes than seeing Dennis Franz's ass every Monday night, you know?
I like to see her ass. Though I'd pay con salary to see her ass. How much you make? Not much.
Nothing.
Anyway, then the Cylon Raider shows up, and then but Adama is mysteriously off the ship into on a flight plan unknown, right?
Yeah.
And then they attack the Apollo and them attack the Raider, and it's damaged. It kept jumping in and out. And he returns with Ty's wife, Ellen. Now, Ellen was played by a different actress. The first time around, it was David Icke's wife, right?
Yeah, just in the picture. I mean, it was just a photo of her.
Yeah, and they trotted out, what's her name? What the hell's her name? I just had her. Kate Vernon. From Falcon Crest. And then she's playing Ellen. And he came off that ship, Adama, everybody thought it was Six in there because she had a red skirt and she had her legs crossed. Everybody
that was the intent, was to let everybody think that that's who was on there, so.
Yeah. And that's a pretty cool scene too. And then he introduced her to his wife, and then all that. I mean, now she's going to be on throughout the rest of the season. Is that correct?
She's going to appear in Colonial Day, and I think that's the last time we actually see her. I don't
really
know if we see her again or not. To be honest, I'm trying to remember through the final episodes, and I don't recall seeing her. I know we won't really see her in the Hand of God next week, but Colonial Day afterwards, I think we will. But I doubt that we'll see her in the season finale.
Yeah. Now, what do you think? What's going on Caprica there with Hilo and Boomer? I mean, they're running underneath in the sewers, away from the Cylons.
Yeah. Are we. I'm trying to think. What part are we up to?
They're running underneath the streets.
So they're still basically on the run, like they didn't
Exactly.
They haven't done anything else yet.
Yeah. And
it's kind of hard when you've seen the entire first season, yeah, to kind of remember all the B stories exactly, yeah, where we're at, because, I mean, that B story is obviously going in a specific direction, and,
yeah,
you know, and I don't want to sit there and accidentally spoil something that's coming up, so.
Well, I like how they put the dateline. You know it's been 28 days since the destruction of the colonies, because they always put, you know, his character, Hilo, and how many days he's been at Caprica, which is now up to 28 days. So really,
yeah,
get the timeline that there really hasn't been that long since they've all, you know, the colonies were attacked, and, you know, Rosalyn and everything else. It really hasn't been that long. Seems like it has, but, I mean, you know, in their reality.
Because it takes us each week to, you,
yeah,
know, get to the next episode, but.
And then the whole thing where Rosalyn was upset that Adama canceled his test and put Ellen's first, and then she's been unconscious since the attack and everything. And this scene on the CIC when he asks Apollo if he's in any dinner plans. I thought that was pretty cool too. I think Apollo thought he was going to ask him something serious, and it turned out to be, "Do you have dinner plans?" You know what I mean? And that was, I like the episode. I mean,
that dinner scene was awesome. I mean, it was just great.
And when what's her name plays footsie with Lee under the table?
Yeah, I mean, whenever the president comes visit, you know, from my house for dinner, we always have these big fights like that too. So.
Yeah, and she's saying about the kindergarten teacher, and you know, they all got something against her being president. You know,
yep.
Adama said that in a miniseries, you're taking orders from a school teacher, and now Ellen's saying she's a kindergarten teacher. Yeah, you know? She wasn't though. She was the Secretary of Education, correct?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's going to have to get some flack for it. I mean, she wasn't exactly being primed to become president when she took over.
Yeah.
So.
And the whole thing, the dinner scene was with the ambrosia. I mean, green ambrosia. We think they're drinking. They're drinking Scope.
Yeah, Scope.
Might as well have been. Mountain Dew's not green. What's green? They could be drinking, huh?
Romulan ale? I don't know.
No. I mean, in reality, Gatorade. Gatorade green? I don't know. I'm wondering what they could be drinking there. And then...
It didn't look that good. It didn't look like they're really drinking it that much. So.
No. If Edward James almost won't drink it, you know it's not good. Yeah?
That's right.
And
he'll drink anything.
Yeah. And then how, I think that scene at the end of that, the dinner when Lee and Adama and Rosalyn are saying how Ellen, Adama says how Ellen brings out the worst in Ty, and they all look, and then they start picking up the dishes, like, the worst is already out all the time. You know? What else? But I just like the characters. Like I said, I let the characters stretch a little bit on this show, which was nice to see, you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, and like I said, and it's good to have these kind of episodes where, I mean, I think that if you're dark all the time, it's going to get old after a while, and
yeah,
you have to break it up a little bit. Even though I know the series is dark, and it goes back to being dark again, but, I mean, at least it makes everybody look a little more human, like,
yeah,
like where there is a little bit more where people can have, you know, get annoyed by little immature acts and stuff, and,
yeah,
you know, especially when they're all fighting over the vials at the end.
Oh, I was just getting that. Yeah, the whole thing where, you know, he's saying that, you know, she thought you were a Cylon, and the Ty and Adama look at Rosalyn, and the whole thing back and forth. I mean, that was classic, too. I mean, the timing that they had down, it was pretty incredible.
I was just laughing so hard. I was like, wait a minute, why am I laughing at the Battlestar Galactica episode?
And then the whole thing with the Cylon Raider, actually he was playing possum all along, or apparently, and is going in on a suicide mission trying to hit the CIC, correct?
Yep,
hit the front of the
right.
ship. Now that's kind of reminiscent of an episode from the original series where they did the whole thing with Adama getting, you know, crushed by the stuff falling from the roof.
Oh, beats the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I mean, and then they had Ty ended up basically saving the day when he had the alert fighters as you blew up the ship.
Yeah, because you know, when you watch the miniseries, you kind of see how, like, Ty really, you know, it wasn't really up for the command, and, you know, when he had to deal with the fire, for instance, and
yeah,
where he hesitated on giving his orders and stuff, and you kind of, you know, makes you think, well, why is he there? He seems so incompetent, and he's always bitching all the time, but then, I mean, you see where he, you know, where he activated the alert fighters, and, you know, he kind of had a hunch what was going on, and, you know, and if he hadn't done that, you know, obviously it would have had some major problems.
Yeah, because everybody
it's good
was
to see that, yeah, he is a pretty competent, you know, XO.
Yeah, and they did the whole thing where he shakes hands with the Dama and everything. Those things are always good with that mutual respect. And they always play that music, too. Like, oh, man, you know, it almost brings a tear to your eye, you know?
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack is so awesome for
yeah,
the series. It really is.
And what else? Then it's Six and Doral talking on the planet, talking about how Boomer and Hilo are in love and everything, how Six is almost in tears that she has never felt that and everything.
Yeah.
And then the Cylons. Now, somebody's saying they Cylons introduced a new weapon or something. I didn't see anything that recognizes a Cylon weapon, do you?
Oh, you mean in this episode?
Yeah. I don't see it with you know.
Yeah, it's probably Ty's wife. I don't know.
And What else? And
he's going to start shaking stuff up, that's for sure.
I think so. And then Hand of God airs this Friday. Now, it's going to be, they're looking for Tilium because the ship's running out of fuel.
This is my favorite episode. I talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, it brought tears to your eye, you said. You're crying, right?
Yeah, this is a great episode. I mean, I cannot wait to get home and watch this Friday night. And I mean, I already have it.
Yeah.
I can watch it like any time I want, but I want to watch it again on TV. And
is that good?
I'm really excited. I can't wait to hear the podcast on this, too.
Yeah. Now, how are we taking the podcast? Now, I was listening to it. I mean, it was okay, but I rather tape it and listen to it versus and watch it live and listen to him talking, too. I can't keep track of the two of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, I listened to it before the episode. I mean, because I'd already seen the episode, so... Actually, I had listened to it, and then I didn't get a chance to watch the episode. I had to work late, and I didn't, and, you know, stupid me, I don't know how to set a VCR, so, you know, mine's still blinking noon or something, and, but I mean, you know, but I listened to it. I listened to most of it. I don't think I listened to the whole thing, but, I mean, there's some great stuff in there. Just the things that he provides, just amazing.
And you said the music is good, too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're building up because you got Hand of God, then you got Colonial Day, then Cobalt.
Yeah, Colonial Day will step down a little bit, you know, and then you'll step right back up because you have Michael Reimer taking over for the finale.
Wow. Well, they all pack a wallet then with him in charge, right?
Yeah.
Because he was in charge of the miniseries, and he was also in charge of, the first two episodes, right? Michael Reimer?
Well, the miniseries does not count as episode one and two. It's kind of by itself.
Yeah. But then the first two episodes of the first season, wasn't he directing those first?
He directed, I know he directed 33, I don't know if he directed Water or not, I can't remember offhand, but, I mean, but you could tell his touch is back, you know, when you get back to these episodes, and, you know, and the one thing that I liked about the finale, you know, it's not spoiling anything, but when you watch it, when it comes up in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. you know, listen for lines and stuff that are kind of lifted, mm-hmm. you know, from the miniseries.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's some things. It's just some of the things that, like, at first I thought, well, geez, that's lazy writing. They already said that, like, in the miniseries. And it's like one of those key. But then you start noticing it everywhere. Huh. You're like, where he's like, moments ago, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, to the president.
Really?
You know, and it's almost like, you know, it's reminiscent of what he said moments ago, the Cylons attacked, you know.
Yeah. So they're pulling lines from the miniseries?
Yeah, and they're kind of paying homage back to the miniseries, it seems like. I mean, I don't know if that's really what they were doing or if they just really forgot what they were doing. Because, I mean, even some of the other lines, too, you know, just came back from the series. And, you know, so I don't know, maybe they really did get lazy and forgot that they had already written that. Or I think they just really were just paying homage back to some lines back from the series.
Well, they're tying it all in. I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to tie the miniseries, everything in together as building up to the season finale.
But it was really cool to listen to it, though, you know. Like, moments ago, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow, I almost thought he was going to say something else. And
Now, have you heard any rumors for the second season, you know?
I heard it's going to be second season.
Yeah, but,
does that count?
Yeah. Now, any truth to rumor that Martha Stewart's going to play the Cylon God?
Yeah. Hey, I'm still going for Donald Trump. But, you know, it's weird. I mean, we haven't started filming yet, obviously. Like, I didn't even realize that Callie hadn't signed yet.
Well, that was news. I broke news.
I didn't even know that.
Live.
I mean, she's going to be in the first two episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, who knows? Is she going to get killed off at the end of that second episode?
No, I mean, you know, what's probably happening is, I mean, like, you know, we got to remember she's a secondary character, and, you know, I mean, they usually only go a few episodes at a time anyway, so, I mean, what we should have asked is, like, well, how did her last, you know, how did the last season go with her? Did she go episode to episode, or did she have a full season contract, or what happened?
I didn't think about that one, but I'm saying she didn't show up in all the episodes, I imagine. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how those people are assigned. I mean, we've seen Tyrell in all the episodes. One, he was basically at the start of the whole episode, you know?
Yeah.
And who else? Well, Alonzo is in the brig. Supposedly we're going to see him again.
Yep.
And he's going to show up at the GateCon, and a lot of them are going to be at the GateCon, you know? Have you been covering that at all?
No, I mean, I wish I could go to the GateCon, because, I mean, I remember seeing it advertised, like, man, I would love to go.
Yeah, it's up in Vancouver, and Duello's going to be there, and some of the, you know, like, the secondary stars are all going
to
be there.
I just want to be able to, I mean, I remember when Earth Final Conflict, that they used to have their big conventions up in Toronto, and they would actually take you out to the locations of, like, where they would film, like, the church, you know, where the, supposed to be all in Washington, D.C., but it was all in Toronto.
Wow.
They'd take you to the church, they'd take you to all these different places, you know, that were shown on Earth Final Conflict, and I mean, I heard it was a blast, and, I never travel, so.
Yeah. Michael Hinman, there you go. The Cylons are killing you off.
As always.
Yeah, Michael Hinman, it was great having you on. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So, it was Michael Hinman from SciFiPortal.com. We'll check your site out, and we thank you for being on. Well, that must be, that's a newsman for you. Hangs up, I'm free. Get done with your salutations. Anyway, there you go. And next week, I don't have anybody booked yet, and we'll see what happens. And this is Subject to Discussion. My website is subject2discussion.com. My email is smduwf@yahoo.com. And I hope to see you all back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, right? And
what
tomorrow,
does bats got to do with
Batman? Oh, I don't know, Batman. I was reading about
same
Batman.
Galactica time.
Galactica time. Same colonial time. Same colonial station.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. With my corners cut off paper all over the place here. Here we go. Anyway, Saab is next. And then tomorrow morning at, well, check your local listings, Daily Noise, right? For 2 hours from 11 Pacific to 1 Pacific, correct? LVRocks.com. Thank you all and have a good night.
Give a frack.